So I'd like to make 2 points this morning. The first one, the second reading, as you know, we start a letter of Paul and we just go through it. It's not necessarily linked to the first reading in the gospel. But I think given in our times, although it's been true since St. Paul wrote it, St. Paul makes an exhortation to us to make sure that we pray for our leaders. And St. Peter, in his letter, and I think it's his first letter, he echoes that. And I think that's something we have to take seriously for us as followers of Christ. Praying for our leaders doesn't mean that we have to agree with them. We might even hope that we might be praying for get new leaders, but it doesn't matter. The ones that we have are the ones we need to pray for. You know, and that's true not only for the country and the state, that's also true for the church. We need to make sure that we pray for our leaders. And then St. Paul, he says, why? So that we can have a tranquil life devoted to Christ. And so I just want to exhort you as we, in a certain way, start up another election season for governor and some other positions, that we're attentive to praying for those who lead us. And then into the gospel and the first reading. There's a clear link there. I always like to read what the fathers of the church say, and St. Thomas Aquinas, as you're well aware. Well, St. Thomas, he wrote a very detailed commentary on St. Matthew's gospel and on St. John's gospel. But we have nothing from Mark and Luke from him. But we do have this beautiful thing called the Golden Chain, or the Catena Aurea, and it was compiled by St. Thomas. When he was stationed in Orvieto, there was a papal library there, and so he took the Gospels and he took what the fathers of the church wrote about each of the Gospel passages, and he compiled it into this Golden Chain. And what's so striking about this particular Gospel is many times the fathers have a unanimity in the way that they see things, but not in this gospel. This gospel, I dare say, was even a little bit confusing for them, because the Lord says, you know, he commends the dishonest steward, and then he says, if you're not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, how will you be trustworthy with trustworthy wealth? And so it is a bit confusing. But St. Bede and St. Augustine, they're the last two to give that St. Thomas writes the commentary on this particular passage, and they say together, although they lived in different times, the last line of the gospel is the interpretive key for the whole gospel. So you have to read from the beginning about the rich man with the steward, and you get to the very last line, and it says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And that's the key to interpreting everything. And then the line before that, no servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. So when you think about, you cannot serve God and mammon, and that's the dichotomy. You're either going to love God and despise mammon, or you're going to serve mammon and not God. That's what's before us today. And so what do we have to do then? Well, if you take the last several weeks of Gospels that we've been listening to, with the exception of last week, because of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, the Lord has been hammering home that we cannot be attached to the goods of this world. And if you think about it, 200 years ago, most people were not attached to the goods of this world because they didn't have any. Most people were not nobles. They weren't merchants. They were just simple peasants. But we live in the country that's the richest country in the history of the world. We've thrown more things away than most people ever had in their whole life in previous generations. And so we really have to take this gospel to heart. We cannot serve God and mammon. And then the Lord does something that's very interesting in the midst of the gospel. He ties it to truth. If you are not trustworthy in small matters, You won't be trustworthy in large matters. If you're dishonest in small things, you'll be dishonest in big things. And so the last thing I'd like to mention is how important it is to tell the truth. We like to think that there's this thing called a little white lie. And the way we say it that way, it's supposed to make us think that it doesn't really hurt anybody. But in a real way, it does. Does it hurt somebody in the grand sense of a grave sin? Maybe not. But St. Thomas is very clear when he teaches this. He gets this from Augustine. There are three types of lies. There's a jocose lie, which he says is normally venial matter. There's an officious lie. That's where I lie to help myself or to help someone else. And he says that can be either venial or grave, depending on why or how you're lying. And the third kind is a malicious lie, where I tell a lie to hurt someone. But they're all three sins. And one of the things, I've mentioned this before, that Catholics have to fight against is thinking that mortal sins are the bad sins and venial sins are the good sins. All sin is bad. And when you think about truth, truth is not just an abstract concept. I've mentioned this too quite often. Truth is a person. The Lord himself told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the same Lord who told us that he is the truth also tells us that there is a liar. There is the father of lies. And when we lie, we are not like Christ. But we're supposed to be like Christ. And we can be, because of his grace. We can be committed so forcefully to telling the truth that the more we tell the truth, the more truthful we are. And the opposite is also true. We can start to tell a lie, and then we tell a second lie, and then we tell a third lie, and then we don't always fill in the blanks, but that means that I'm becoming a liar. And my word is not trustworthy. I remember my grandparents, both my mother's and my father's grandparents, telling me that when they were young, you could shake on anything and the deal was made. But it wasn't until somebody reneged on the deal that we couldn't do that because they didn't tell the truth. And so when we listen to this gospel, we should be profoundly struck at the last line. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And to serve God means to be detached from the worldly goods. But it also means to be attached to the truth, so that in small matters or great matters, we're honest. And by being honest, we're likened to the one who is the truth, Jesus Christ. And as you know, whenever we're following Christ, that means we're firmly on the path that leads to the kingdom.